you're not the exception. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That sounds interesting. If you were wondering, that was Steve Brown and I'm Mike Kellogg. The program is Key Life. Relevant Bible principles without stuffiness and nonsense. Now here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you're just joining us, we spent a week talking about what you ought to do, and now we're talking about what you shouldn't do. And in both cases, this is about suffering and pain of other people, how to minister. In both cases, we're using Job's friends. We saw when we talked about what you ought to do from the book of Job, you ought to be there. You ought to be quiet. You shouldn't gossip. You ought to say things to them if you got to say something. And you got to give your friend who's going through a difficult time the freedom to be human. We don't do that much in the church, do we? William Hendricks, in a great book on some interviews that he did on people who left the church, said a great thing. He said, you know, I mean, this isn't an exact quote. If I'd known I was going to say this, but I hardly know ever what I'm going to say. If I'd known I was going to say this, I would have gotten the exact quote. But he said that if our forefathers had been given the lists of do's and don'ts that we have in our time, about what you do with your family and your children and the community and the church, how to lead people to Christ, how to disciple, how often to read the Bible, how to do this and that and the other, he said it would have been devastating to them. He said nobody can do all of that stuff. And so sometimes in the church, now I believe in excellence. I believe we ought to call people to obedience. I believe in holiness because God believes in holiness. We're to be set apart. But listen, we got to cut some slack for each other or we're going to kill each other off. People leave the church because all they feel is condemned. And sometimes we're just not good enough, to keep on trucking. And so when you're dealing with somebody's pain and suffering, cut them a little bit of slack. And yesterday, we began talking about some of the things that Job's friends did when Job was going through suffering that simply were not proper. And we saw that they wanted to carry it on an intellectual discussion. Job 4, 1 through 5a. I don't care whether you've read Buttrick's God, Pain, and Evil, or know what Burkhoff says, or read Fulton Ausler, or you know everything that Yancey said about disappointment in God, just sit on it. When somebody's going through it, don't give intellectual head answers to heart problems. And then yesterday we ended, and I want to say a little bit more about it today. Just remember that you're fragile. Just remember that it can happen to you too. Just remember that nobody gets out of this thing without some bad things happening. That's the nature of a fallen world. I love the people that are into the prosperity theology thing. I wish that stuff was true. And I think the problem with those of us who are Reformed and Presbyterian is that sometimes we believe that God takes great delight in saying no, and he answers all of our prayers with no, and he's a child abuser. But the other end of that spectrum, and it's just as bad, is to say that if you exercise the principles of faith, then you'll be wealthy, you'll be healthy, and you'll live a long life and die in your sleep. That's not true, guys. That's not true. And so when you're ministering to somebody that's suffering, remember, it can be you. If it hasn't been you, it will be you, because you are going to go through it, too. I didn't read it very well yesterday. The Kim Keller thing that he gave to me from a singles magazine and somebody who advertised for somebody to get in touch with him, you know, one of these, you've seen those columns where, you know, you're trying to hook up with somebody else, the singles columns, and guy had written, said, an outworlder, no home to phone, male, human, 25, dull, insecure, humorless, likes Pop-Tarts, Legos, seeks female counterpart to share empty, meaningless existence, sin police composite, number F-150. And then Ken laughed. He said, you know, that guy's going to get a lot of responses. I said, why is that? He said, because he's not going to judge anybody. Because he doesn't consider himself an outsider. We do that all the time as preachers and teachers in the church. We give the impression that we have never touched any known sin, that we speak of sin because we have to. It's in the Bible, but we speak of it it's the microphone. Hearsay is the word I'm looking for, and I'm doing the best I can. We speak with hearsay about sin. The truth is, nobody is an outsider. And if we can give that impression when we're talking to people that are hurting, then they'll say, the Christian faith is not for me because I'm hurting. I have a friend in Pittsburgh. I've told you this before. Former missionary. He said, Steve, all my life I've heard missionaries and preachers say they were sinners, and you're the first one I ever believed. And he laughed when he said it. But it was a compliment. None of us can stay as they were outsiders of the human race. It's a bad world. We all go through pain. We don't, any of us, speak from this place of everything being right in our lives. Emily Dickinson, untitled poem from her collected works. Let me read it to you. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'll banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog, to tell your name the lifelong day to an admiring bog. There aren't any super Christians. Believe me, I know. I used to think there were. And there just aren't any. Jesus died for us because we're very needy. When we approach someone who has just felt the snap of a broken rope or going through a difficult time, we'd better take the position of one who, if we got what we deserved, would be holding a frazzled, broken rope of our own. Now, let me tell you something else that Job's friends did that was so wrong. Now, I'm being fair. I told you the good things they did. First, don't be intellectual. Secondly, remember you're not beyond reproach. And then thirdly, the friends of Job's presumed to speak for God. Zophar made some interesting comments to Job in the first cycle of debate. By the way, if you've got your Bible, open it to Job 11:7, and I'm going to read that verse and then skip down to 10 and 11 and then 14 and 15. Listen to this. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? If he passes by, imprisons, and gathers to judgment, then who can hinder him? For he knows deceitful men. He sees wickedness also. If iniquity were in your hand, and you put it far away, and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you should lift up your face without spot. Yes, you would be steadfast and not fear. That's cool, man. Zophar said, you can't explain God, and then he went about trying to explain God. Presuming to speak for God on almost any issue is very dangerous. Do you know what irritates people on this broadcast? We get all these questions. We get thousands of questions. And I really try to find a proper, biblical, balanced, real answer to real questions. But sometimes I say, I have no earthly idea. I just don't know. That drives some people nuts. I mean, they say, what do you mean you don't know? You've been to school. You write books. If you don't know, who knows? And I say, who knows? So don't write me letters when I don't know, because I don't speak for God. The reason I'm a Bible teacher is that Bibles are pretty easy to come by. That means you can check and see if what I'm teaching is true. I'm not God. I don't speak from Sinai. None of this is chiseled in concrete. You should be, as the Bereans were, searching out the scriptures to see if they're true. One time when I was a pastor, a wonderful couple gave birth to a baby boy born with some very serious medical problems. The boy's name was Matthew, and he had to go through life-threatening procedures, the most serious number of surgical procedures he had already undergone. Our congregation was deeply affected by Matthew. I may have told you about this before. We prayed a lot during his surgery. We had faith and concern. We trusted Jesus. You know what happened? Matthew died. Matthew's parents and our congregation were absolutely devastated. And by the way, George Bingham, who is the executive vice president, the one who runs this show, of Key Life Network Incorporated, George and Ruth Bingham. George Bingham, this was their son, and this is their story. And I suspect that we bonded as friends during that. Anyway, during Matthew's illness, a lot of people came into the hospital room. I spent a lot of time in the hospital, and so did a lot of other people. And they brought, quote, messages from the Lord. Some said, the Lord has revealed to me that Matthew is going to be fine. Others said, Matthew is going to die, but God said he was in charge and for you not to worry. Somebody said, I've been speaking to the Lord about Matthew, and it has been revealed to me that while he will go through a difficult time, he will be completely healed. Now, I don't want to sound overly critical here or that I'm throwing rocks when I shouldn't. And I honestly don't question the motivation of those people who felt so deeply for Matthew and his parents. However, when Matthew died, a lot of messengers were strangely silent. If God is teaching a lesson or has a message, that's his business, and he's perfectly capable of communicating with a person who suffers. Listen, you got to be careful. God speaks for God. When Zophar told Job what God had said, you don't find it in the text, but God said, Zophar, be quiet, I didn't say that. Just try not to speak for me. You think about that, I'm in. Hey, listen, if you haven't received the Winter Magazine, we'd love to send it to you. I wrote a couple of articles. One is called Our God Reigns. When it's really bad and you think God's on vacation, he isn't. And then another, Crosses and Crowns. When your pain is unbearable, how do you bear it? Might want to give this to a friend. Magazine includes a question and answer column. A lot of information about our Lake Barkley Fellowship. I hope you're making plans to come. We have a great time there. My itinerary's there. A lot of good stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And it's free. Just let me know. Call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maidland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And when I say it's free, I really mean that. But if you can help us financially, you can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. You help so many other people. And you allow me to sleep at night. This is an expensive ministry, and we squeeze every dime, and we'll be faithful, and I promise. So pray about it. If you can help us financially, send a gift. And for any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, Praying Properly, How to Really Get Close to God. Hey, I got to go, but first I must say, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.